Thank you very much for that very beautiful music, very inspiring. It takes a lot of work. Again, appreciate Mr. Fritz's efforts, all the choir members, all the practice, all the time. I am not Mr. Zimmerman. Sorry. Typically before the feast, they will appoint and they'll ask somebody to be the alternate. So it's kind of like being asked to the prom on the second, being the second person. Anyway, I was appointed the alternate, never thinking that I obviously would have the actual opportunity to speak, but it's a great privilege and a pleasure to be up here speaking to you, especially on this last sermon, and a day that means so much to any and all of us here, especially those who've lost loved ones, and I think just about everyone has, and so this is a very, very special time for all of us. I may not button my coat for two reasons. One, I need ventilation up here, and two, I think the button would probably go flying out there, so... A very serious scourge of disease has affected the United States in a very strange way, and from that we can learn some very important spiritual lessons. I think we're all familiar with the disease of Alzheimer's. It affects very, very many people in the United States of America, and I'm sure it does has an effect here as well. In Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, God says, as a result of people's rebellion and disobedience, He would smite us with madness. And when you look at this, I began to study this because we've had to deal with certain issues, I'm sure many of you have, about Alzheimer's. And I found an incredible parallel between the stages of how Alzheimer's progresses and how people with spiritual Alzheimer's go through the same stages of those who know the truth and forget it over a period of time. One in three seniors in the United States of America die from the effects of Alzheimer's. It is an incredibly horrible disease to have to deal with. Many of you probably have had to deal with that to one degree or another. They don't know what causes it. It could be inherited. It could be your diet. It could be your environment, your lifestyle, or lack thereof. It could be a combination of all these things, accidents. It could be how you approach life, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. They don't know what causes it. But I'm here to tell you, it's a horrible scourge. When we look at Alzheimer's as an object lesson for you and me, it's rather scary. I don't know about you, but from the sermon this morning and other messages, it just made me once again want to be here at the feast and want to be at that second resurrection even more. How can you ensure and make your calling and election for sure, for real? I'm going to show you how. If it sinks in, if it gets you going, if it motivates you and inspires you, albeit. Because when we leave here, we're going back to war. The object lesson of Alzheimer's affects people. Do you know of people that you either grew up within the church, knew for years and years and years, you kept the Sabbath and holy days, and now don't even remember them? Do you know people now that you knew for years in the church that you don't know now? That you don't recognize them? They're different people? I have friends, I have family who have turned into different people. Let's go through the stages of the four basic stages of Alzheimer's and let's see the parallel of what happens to people. The first stage of Alzheimer's is short-term memory loss. Now, as I go through some of these, it's a serious subject, but on the other hand, you're going to say, well, I have all of these. To some degree or another, when your mind's overloaded, you'll have those. The bottom line, the first stage of this is short-term memory loss. How good a rememberer are you? Research shows that between 40 and 50% of what you hear right now, you're going to forget by tomorrow evening at the same time. By 2 days, you will forgotten over 60% of what you heard today. And in 1 week, it's lucky if you can remember 10% of what you're hearing right now. You'll say, that's just statistics, man. What was the sermon about yesterday? What was the sermon about the day before? How about the first sermon? What was the title of that? How far back do you want to go? The point is, we will forget real easy. It's interesting, God says, remember the Sabbath days. He says, these are appointed convocations to get together with your Father and Creator. These are the only days set apart, sanctified, and official days in the Bible from God. Everything else is not. How many Sabbaths would it take to forget God? How many do you think it would take? Too tired to get there, too far drive, I don't have internet, I can't even get online. It's not that big a deal. How many Sabbaths would it take to forget? Let's go to Deuteronomy 8, and again, the first step in becoming a spiritual Alzheimer's candidate is short-term memory loss. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8, read a few scriptures here. I was recently out in California and visited an old friend, his best man at my wedding. Hadn't been to church, was in the church at one time, hadn't been to church, I don't know, 15 years maybe. Yeah, 15, 18. Still a nice person. What do we talk about? The good old days in the church? Not really. Very superficial, very nice conversation, but there's just nothing there much. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1. Something familiar here. It applies to each of us. It applies to the nations we live in. It applies to the United States of America. It says, every commandment, Deuteronomy 8:1, I command you today, must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply, go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way through these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. We will be tested. We will be sifted. The church has gone through a number of earthquakes. And as I mentioned, I believe in my sermonette, somebody asked me, why are you still here? You're going to have the answer to that question at the end of the sermon. Why you're still here. Verse 3. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know. No, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Eternal. Oh, wait a minute. That's not the Old Testament. That's all done away with, right? In the New Testament, it's all that, only what's after Christ, and then I can pick and choose Paul's scriptures, and sometimes he's so vague I can make it mean whatever I want to. Wow, that's pretty cool. So I can end up doing my own thing and still thinking I'm religious. I heard a comedian once say, and for some reason it struck me funny. He says, I believe in 7 of the 10 commandments. That is so true to human nature. We pick and choose. Number 4, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Our lives are symbolized by 40 years in the wilderness. We will be led. We will be tested. I talked about our walk with God. I've been led through some pretty crazy places. I think we still got a ways to go. Hang on. Verse 11. Beware you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full, have built beautiful houses, dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that is multiplied, then your hearts lift it up, and you forget the Eternal, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Has the United States, now I'm from the U.S., has the United States of America forgotten God? Are they fast forgetting it? Are we getting to the point of no return on that? How much of God is in education, business? How much of education is in government? Or I should say, how much of God is in business, education, government? You can answer those questions for yourself. It's absolutely incredible. How much of God and this Word from Genesis to the Revelation is in religion? Is the United States passing the point of no return? Whereas God told Jeremiah, don't pray for him anymore. It's too late. I don't know. I pick up the newspaper, I read the website, and it scares me. How much can God put up with? There's an old saying, and this applies, and I point this to you young folks, if you don't stand for something now, you will fall for anything. You've got to stand up. You're going to go to school, go to college, go out there, and you're going to be told how stupid you are for doing what we're doing right now. This day is the only day that explains what happens to all of humanity who have never heard the name Jesus Christ. This was the one doctrine. When I sat at college, not ambassador, but my first few years, we're in some kind of religious group, and somebody brought up the question, what happens to all these people that aren't Christian? Do they go to hell? I had no answer for it. And it made me think, this is the only church on earth I'm aware of that knows the answer. And it's tied in integrally into these holy days. As we used to say very vociferously, God is not trying to save the world today. If He was, He's doing a lousy job. Do you know anyone who has forgotten God and began to forget what day is the Sabbath? What are the holy days? Don't remember when they're at, where they're at. What's interesting to me is that the basic reason it says that we come to the feast is to learn to fear God. And what a balance between love and respect. To me is a deep respect, a deep abiding devotion, but a trembling, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God. And maybe that's something we need to think about. Maybe that's something, because people have lost, for the most part, a deep abiding fear of God Almighty. And that's scary. The more you forget more God, the more prideful you get. And this goes on then to the next step in the stages of Alzheimer's. Number two is disoriented and confused and mood swings up and down. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes I go to the kitchen and think, oh, what did I come in here for? I go in there. So that's kind of a natural part of going, quote unquote, older. But this gets to be real serious. You begin to forget things, and then you get disoriented. You know anybody that doesn't know the purpose of life who used to be here? You know anybody that has no idea where the world's going anymore or what it's all about that used to know that? Let's turn over to James 1:6. Do people get confused and disoriented when they start and progress in forgetting Almighty God? You know people that keep Lent now and Halloween? I mean, there's some stupid days out there, but boy, we're stupid for keeping the annual holy days and the Sabbath, the ones God appointed. At least that's how they look at us. James 1:6. And you may say, why are you talking about this on this day? Because if you forget God, you will not be there at that resurrection to see your loved ones come out. We're going to talk about that. Tell you some stories of what I'm looking forward to. And I want you to think about what you can be looking forward to as well. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded. Hypocritical. You get divided loyalties. I remember when the church was going through this great division in 95, I called various senior people that I knew. One explained both sides perfectly and agreed with both. Wow! That's pretty good. Alzheimer's leads to disorientation. Getting off track. Not where you're knowing where you're headed. What your purpose is. You lose purpose. It's bad. Why get up in the morning? What is that purpose? There are two elements that I see in society. The more you forget God, the more skeptical you get. You know anybody that's skeptical? I think this is one of the greatest tactics of Satan the devil to destroy your faith. I think we have plenty to be cynical about and skeptical, but we can't let it get to us. Skepticism is when you doubt known facts How do we know the Sabbath is? How do we know what? Well, how do we? What's cynicism? That's when you doubt motives of people, why they do what they do. Now, this is one of my pet peeves, and since I get the chance to speak, I'll let you know what it is. When somebody tells me why somebody else did something, that tells me they can read their heart. I think only God can do that. I'm a little hesitant to criticize, accuse, and find fault, because I will be judged that way myself, and I don't want to be judged that way. Do we do that? We've been through a major time of cynicism and skepticism. You will find Alzheimer's people begin to distrust everything and everybody, and it goes into a form of paranoia. You can't trust the ministers, you can't trust the home office, you can't trust this. You can't trust anything unless you trust God. If you don't trust God to take you through that jungle and that desert, and then you won't trust anybody, and guess what? You'll be alone most of the time. So measure yourself on the skepticism, cynicism. It's the opposite of faith. Look at God first. How does He work? Does He work through weak people who let you down? Yeah, because that's the only kind are out there. I've fallen short in every area of my life. That's why I repent every day, and I live, and I make it by grace. What else is new? All right. Let's go to Hebrews 2:1. Hebrews 2:1. We were out on the little kayak the other day, and occasionally we quit paddling because it's nice not to paddle all the time. Hebrews 2:1. It says, therefore, we must give the earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Oh, my. You know anybody's drifted away? Just kind of, we were out in the kayak. We just let kind of drift. It's a good feeling. You know, hey, no big deal. Ooh, this is great. I'm just going to drift. I was visiting an elderly gentleman who at one time had a great sense of humor, a member of God's church. And, of course, he's getting older. We had to put him in a nursing home. And as he continued down those stages, I would go visit him. And it was like no one was there. And when I started to talk, he would go, you ever try to tell somebody about the truth or talk about the truth and just have it like that? Yeah, okay, yeah. People have drifted away. It takes no effort to drift. Just follow human nature and those around you in the world. You will drift away. People have drifted away. Now let me throw in a disclaimer and a clarification. We had my wife's mother in our home for 8 months while she went through the last stages of her life. And she displayed some of these symptoms. I'm not saying she's lost. That's not what I'm talking about. She died in the faith. God knows what you know, where you've been, and where you're at. I'm not talking about the natural progression of what people go through. I'm talking about spiritually where people knowingly do these things. And the results are memory loss and disorientation. Number three, inappropriate behavior. They become antisocial. They become paranoid. They start doing things, lying, stealing, and doing things they would never do before. You know anybody that's done that since they left the church? Wow! Let's turn to Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. The classic scripture, but I want you to take a fresh look at every scripture we turn to. 29:18, where there is no revelation, a revelation is this. You know, I jokingly said, we'll see if God can talk through Balaam's jackass again this afternoon. Yes, He can. He can. He is. Why do you think you go through the situations you go through? So you can teach others. So you can help others through it. It says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. They just go hog wild. They just do. Why not? Unfortunately, when people go through that Alzheimer's, that's what happens. They become more just abandoned. They're not sure what, they don't know what they're doing, and it leads to inappropriate. And if you know people that have left the church after knowing it, the truth, this is the progression they go through. They cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. The word happy is more like prosperous. It's more like well-being. Keep is like your treasure. When I was a little boy, it was cat's eye marbles. I love those things, man. We played marbles all the time, and I had a bag of marbles. Cat's eye marbles. I kept them. It was my little secret, and I kept them in a little bag. It says here, you treasure God's way of life. You keep it safe. So we've looked at short-term memory loss, forgetfulness. We've looked at disorientation, confused mood swings, losing your temper. We've looked at inappropriate behavior, and I've seen that happen to so many friends and acquaintances. The fourth stage obviously will lead to death. Let's go over to Matthew 25. Ultimately, spiritual Alzheimer's leads to death. I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm just saying that we all need to be aware of that. That's where it's all headed. Matthew 25 talks about the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish. But you know something? I read this recently and it slapped me in the face. Matthew 25, verse 10. God, Christ is talking to the 5 foolish. It's all said, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. The other were drifting. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Boy. I don't know about you. I would hate for Christ to look at me and say that. I don't know you anymore. I don't know this person. That's the ultimate end of spiritual Alzheimer's. To change. To forget. To go out and do other things that are wrong. It will lead to spiritual death, and Jesus Christ will not know me. Not know you. Just like there are family and friends that you could probably say, I don't even know who they are anymore. 7 keys to not forgetting. You ready? Here we go. We don't forget. If we remember not to forget, we're going to be in pretty good shape. This roughly parallels the particular causes suspected of Alzheimer's, right? Number 1, pick the right parents. It's the genetic part. Who's the mother of us all, and who is our father? It says, worship God in spirit and truth. So when I say I want to be part of the right church, I look at spirit, attitude, and teaching. Teaching, spirit, and truth. Pick the right mom and the right father. Point 2. Your diet. We could talk about physical things, but right now, what you eat and drink spiritually either makes you sick or subject to illness or really, really healthy. What do you eat? What do you drink in of? They say, you know, we're ruling now. We're learning to be kings and priests. What do we rule over right now? I'll tell you right now where to start instead of trying to control and tell other people how to live, your wife, your husband, your kids. You can't control them. You can manage them. That's a whole other story. You rule over what you look at. You rule over what you listen to. You rule over what you smell, what you say, how you feel. You have a sphere of influence at work, you have a sphere of influence at home, and a sphere of influence here. This is where it starts. Rule over your heart. The rest will be taken care of. Start there. remember one fellow said, they asked him in a public Bible exorcist, so what is your goal? We're going to rule the earth. He said, how are you going to do that? By learning to rule this. That's a full-time job. People get off on the calendar. Oops. People get off on this. They get off on that. They get off on sacred names. Hey, I'm still working on keeping the Ten Commandments perfectly. That's kept me pretty busy. Keep it in perspective. So number one, make sure you pick the right parents. Number two, you are what you eat and drink. Number three, I did a research paper once on how do scientists define life? And the result was, all these studies and scientists, the summation of how they define life versus death is dead things don't move, but living things do. Brilliance. Stay active. Your spiritual walk with God is absolutely critical. Talking, walking, reading, listening, and stay active physically to the extent that you possibly can. Number four, I'm becoming the grumpy old man guy. I tell you, we saw that beast and the false prophet, Beauty and the Beast, the other night, and the beast comes out. I thought, that's me in the morning. It's like, I need some coffee. But I thought, man, look for the silver lining. I'll tell you, if you're negative, critical, always finding fault, you can't say anything positive, you won't have too many friends. And guess what? It just doesn't work in your head. Look for the silver lining. Do not become a grumpy old man, a grumpy old woman. Fight it. Fight it. Says a merry heart does good like a medicine. What does a grumpy old man's heart do? It drags you down. It makes you wrinkled. You look like a prune. How you doing? I ain't feeling too good. Sermon stunk. Here's a saying that to me rings so true. And I really want you to think about this. You don't see things the way they are. You see things the way you are. I'm feeling good. I got my dinner. Everybody's a wonderful person. Things aren't going bad. Hey, honey, what's wrong with you? Yeah. You see things the way you are. Think about it. How are you up here right now? I know it's hot. I know it's uncomfortable. We're going to get through this together, folks. We're going to get through this. All right. Be sociable. Alzheimer's people typically are paranoid, antisocial, don't like anybody, keep away from me. What happens to people who leave the church? They don't want to see you anymore. They don't want to fellowship. So, let me tell you an Alzheimer's moment that I had. 1995 to 1998, I was going through a marriage transition, becoming single. I went through a career transition, changing jobs. I was not in a shiny mood. It was one of the most discouraging times of my life. I was not wanting to be sociable. I thought just to get up to go to church. One day in my great frame of mind, early 98, I had a couple in a church say, hey, Youngstown is having a big social potluck and all kinds of things going on. Let's go. Nope. I am not feeling good. I want to stay home. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. We'd like to take you over there. You need to get out of the house. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But we really think it would be good for you. Da da da, da da da, da da da. For the third time, I'm down. I don't feel like being around people. You know what they said? Be ready at 4. come and got me, drugged me out of my apartment, took me to Youngstown, and during that social, an old friend of mine came up and said, "Have you talked to Kathy Moore?" "Who's that?" "She used to live here. She's now down in Florida." I said, "Why don't you give her a call? Her daughter's right over here. Let's go ask her for a phone number." Went over there, of course, her being smart, wouldn't give it to me. "Who is this guy?" She says, "Let me check." So I got the address. I wrote Kathy Moore. I waited 3 weeks for a response. Got one. "Love to call you. What's your number?" She sent back her phone number with the wrong area code. I kept getting this old farmer out in the middle of High Springs, Florida. I wrote her another letter. She says, "Oh, I gave you my work area code. Sorry." In my letter, I said, "If you really don't want to talk to me, just let me know. Let me down easy, but let me know." So she called me. We had a 4-hour conversation. We talked back and forth, long distance love affair. "Want to come back to Cleveland with me?" "I hate Cleveland. It's cold. Come down here." I said, "Okay." Transferred down there. We got married in 98 at the feast. Celebrating 15 years, marriage, October 3rd. Best decision I ever made, worst attitude, best social I ever went to. Show up. Somebody says, "There's nobody in a church for me." God can create a universe, but He can't provide somebody for you. He did for me in the nick of time. Sometimes God sends angels in the form of good friends who kick you. Here's 3 ways to motivate somebody. You got this? You ready? You know when to kick them in the pants, know when to pat them on the back, and know when to leave them alone. Those are 3 child-rearing principles, 3 marriage principles. In this case, they had to kick me in the pants, but because I knew they cared for me, it went just fine. Number 6. Keep learning. Use it or lose it. Typically, you keep your mind. There's recent research shows that you actually build brain cells as you learn new things. Use it or lose it. Keep learning. A saying, a phrase I love is, when you think you know it all, you've got a lot to learn. 1973, graduated from Ambassador College. I knew everything. The last 40 years, had to learn how to live it. I'm working on it. Sometimes, let's go to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. I find this very inspiring. There were times when I thought God had forgotten me. I've been through times where I thought He didn't care. I've been through times that I just didn't know what to do. I've been through times that I didn't care if I got up or not. And so I'm just being human here. God pulled me through all that. Isaiah 49 and verse, let's try, 14. Isaiah 49. But Zion said, that's the church, that's Israel, that's you, and that is me. The Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me. Ever feel that way? Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely humans can forget. We forget. You're going to forget half of this tomorrow. Unless you have repeated review of what you're learning. It's the bottom line. Quit keeping the Sabbath for 6 months. You won't know nothing. You won't. He says, surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. God will not forget you. If you do not forget Him, guess what? It will enable you to do what I'm going to talk about right now. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. Let's take another little brief, fresh, new look at this. Ezekiel 37 is the valley of dry bones and bones and dry bones. foot bone connected to the ankle bone. Oh no, he's going to sing. Let's put this in the setting, and I'll explain this, and I want you to think about this from your point of view. This day pictures the time of all of humanity, people before the flood, after the flood, people who never heard the name Jesus Christ, let alone understood what he taught. You can say Jesus Christ, what did he stand for? What did he do? What did he live? What did he stand up for? What did he teach? These people are going to have their opportunity. It's going to be a glorious, glorious time. The hand of the Eternal came upon me, brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and sat me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. You're sitting there, big valley. There are nothing but piles of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. Behold, there were very many. The open valley, indeed, they were very dry. He took Christ in the flesh, I believe, walked him around and gave him a tour of that valley. He says, I want you to see this. Is this just for Ezekiel, or can you put your name in that? Verse 3, he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, you know. You know, God will ask us questions, just like you'll ask some people questions, just to see what they'll say. God, walking in the garden, said, Adam, where are you? Did he not know where he was? He wanted to see what Adam would say. And he wanted Ezekiel to come to see what's going on here. Number 4, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Why didn't Christ just do that? Why did he have Ezekiel do it? Why does he work through people? To test you. That's one reason. Because all people are weak. Why does he call you? Is he going to use us in this regard? You will have just spent 1,000 years helping millions of people come into the family. And now he's saying, Greg, I want you to say this. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And then shall you know that I am the Eternal. These people will know. They will come back to a physical existence. Number 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. The skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the Son of Man. Say the breath, thus says the Eternal God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Will he use you to call out your loved ones? He uses us. He works through us. Who would you like to find? Now, if I get a little mushy, forgive me. The older you get, the mushier, I don't know, it's just me. 1987, my mom called. I lived in Ohio, and she lived, and her and my dad were out in California. They hardly ever call. Hadn't seen her for a while, and mom and dad called, and we had a nice chat. Last thing I said to mom is, I love you, Mom. Hung up, got a call the next morning. She died in her sleep. To me, that was a gift of God, that I got to say goodbye to Mom. So when I'm walking around that valley of dry bones, I'm going to say, Father, where's my mom? And I'm going to go find her. I'm going to bring her out of there. And I'm going to give her a big hug. Say, Mom, we got a lot to talk about. That's who I'm going to go get. My dad died in 2000, age 77, smoked from the day he got out of the crib. Lived to be 77. Hadn't seen him for a while. And my younger brother called me, and he hadn't called me in about 30 years, and I knew something was up. He said, Dad just died on the couch. And he was writing me a letter at the time. And so I said, Mom, let's go find Dad. Hey, Dad, come on out of there. I remember him hugging me once in an airport when I came home on leave from the Navy. in my whole life. That meant everything to me. He actually loved me, but he couldn't say it. Hey, Dad, let me give you a hug. We got lots to talk about. And I'm going to look for my grandma and my grandpa. My grandpa, what a rounder he was. Down in Missouri, my folks are all from South Central Missouri. He was agriculture. He could grow anything. Later in life, he lived out in California, not too far from us, and we had a real bond. And he'd say, come on over, Greg. Let's talk, which meant he's going to tell me stories. He had to have a half pint first. And the stories got more colorful and more colorful. And he told me something once when he was in that frame of reference. He says, I only have one regret, Greg, in my life. I said, what is it, Grandpa? He says, I was called to preach the gospel and I didn't go. Now, why would he say that? I know my family's been religious for a long time, not in God's church, but that's what he told me. And I think his funeral was the first one I ever went to as a teenager. So I'm looking for Grandpa. I'm looking for Uncle Ernie. He taught me how to tie a tie. He was a good guy. Those are some people I'm looking for. Well, God say to you, hey, go get your mom and dad and grandpa. My best friend in the sixth grade was Johnny Martin. Ran into his mom. My mom was talking to her. We had moved. She says, yeah, Donnie died. He's riding his bike and a car hit him. My best friend died just after getting out of the sixth grade. Why that impacted me, why I think about it now, all I know is there are people I really want to call out of the grave the direction of God and Jesus Christ and have them get up. Verse 11. He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry and our hope is lost and we ourselves are cut off. People die hopeless. And that is awful. But that's the way it is. So if you're not a grumpy old man or a grumpy old woman, you can give them hope. Number 12, verse 12. Therefore, prophesy, that's inspired speaking, say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves, I will cause you to come up from your graves, and I'll bring you back home. That's our job. Don't forget God. Remember Him every day, every Sabbath. God's great goal is His family reunion. That'll be the biggest blowout. I have a lot of friends, family, I can't tell you. If I don't make it, somebody else is going to teach it. I don't want that. I just don't want that. When I was serving up in the Canada area, I got a call from Mr. Totten. We want to talk to you, Sonny. Come over and visit. Family, big farm. I walk in. I don't know what to expect. And here's this big family. It's like the Ponderosa or something. And Mr. Totten says, he's an old man then, and long since have passed on, I'm sure. But come on over. We're going to have dinner. And we're talking around the dinner table. It's like five sons, wives. It's a big gathering. And so he sits down, and, you know, I'm new, I'm a young man, and they're talking about the literature and the church. I hadn't been to church, I didn't know. I'll never forget his prayer. He's asked a blessing on the meal, and he starts praying. He's like 80 years old. And he's praying over the meal, and he's asking a blessing on his sons and their wives, on the food, on me. And he just goes on and on, and then he concludes it. He says, take care of us. Till you bring us all back home. That's what this day is about. God's called you to get ready to help those folks That valley of dry bones has your parents, your grandparents, and between now and the return of Christ, what other suffering, what other losses will we have? This is our hope. You cannot let go of that. The object lesson of Alzheimer's, brethren, is it's so easy to forget God. Please don't. He doesn't want you to. He's called you to make it. This day pictures you in the valley of dry bones, reaching out and saying, live. We all have hope, and we all have a great future. We thoroughly enjoyed meeting you all. We love you guys. You take care out there. Be safe. Have a safe trip home. We'll see you somewhere down that road. Take care.